It's a good guy, bad guy scenario. That's not the case out here in Sugar Beet Country. Everybody's got a stake in the outcome, and it's a unique business model that makes sure everybody has skin in the game and can share in the profits. I'm joined by Pedro Figueroa, his Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Michigan Sugar Company, and Rob Clark, Director of Communications and Community Relations for the same. Welcome, guys.
Thank you very much for having us.
And they're decked out in bright scarlet Pioneer Sugar. Yeah, they're pushing their product here, and we've got a nice four-pound bag here. This, I mean, it is interesting that in terms of, you know, we hear the term farm-to-table in terms of dining. This is farm-to-table, though, in truth, and none of that happens outside of the borders of Michigan. I mean, it's not like it's outsourced.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. We like to say we're a farm-to-table business. Michigan Sugar Company has been around since 1906, so we like to say we've been making life sweeter since 1906. But for the last 20 years, we've been owned by our farm families, by our growers. We are a cooperative, and so the growers own the company.
They're the shareholders.
They grow the sugar beets, and they deliver them to our factories in Bay City, Carroll, Croswell, and Sebring, Michigan. And we extract the sugar, and we put it in these beautiful red bags, Pioneer Sugar, and comes to your kitchen.
How many employees?
A little north of 1,000, between 1,100.
Yeah, so it's a good-sized business.
Full-time, and then we also have additional employees that we bring in during the harvest that are temporary.
So we've already been nipping on this one sugar beet over here, and I didn't realize you could actually, I mean, it's and to the listeners, it's a little bit like eating that coconut that you get at Kroger. I mean, it's that kind of consistency, maybe a little easier to eat because you don't need a hammer, but it's actually quite tasty. It's about 15%. Yeah, well, I'll eat anything.
Yeah.
As long as it's got a little sweet on it. But it's what does it take to get it from its natural state here as a two-pound sugar beet to being 4 pounds of sugar?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, one of the really important things that most people don't understand is that sugar occurs naturally in every vegetable. A sugar beet is a vegetable, and it happens to be the vegetable that contains the most sugar. So all sugar occurs naturally either in a sugar beet or sugar cane. We grow sugar beets here in Michigan, and the sugar is in that plant. When you tasted it before, I'm sure you tasted the sugar.
Oh, yeah, it's tasty.
Yeah, and all we do is slice the beets and extract the sugar, and it's an all-natural, pure product.
Pedro, how many bushels of sugar beets does it take to make this four-pound bag of sugar?
So on a two-pound bag, 5 beets will approximately make a bag.
5 bushels of beets?
Yeah, 5 beets.
Oh, 5 beets.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So they usually come in 17-18% sugar, and then the rest is water and some you know, organic matter.
That's a pretty good, that's pretty good conversion.
It is.
I mean, it doesn't take a lot of beets to boil it down.
Correct. So what we're banking on every year is good crop with that 17-18% sugar content, and with that, we're able to service a heck of a lot of customers here in the region.
So we know before we started doing this with sugar beets, it was sugar cane, it was imported, and all of that. Mm-hmm. From a cost standpoint, are you more competitive with sugar beets than with sugar cane?
Yes,
that's a very labor-intensive process.
Absolutely. The fact that we're vertically integrated because we're a co-op, there are no intermediaries. We're basically transferring the beets from the farms to the factories. Our process is a lot more streamlined than the cane side. The cane needs to bring in raw sugar before they convert it to refined sugar. Here is one integrated process. So we do have cost advantages, those are what we're able to pass on to our customers to, you know, keep our market share and keep growing.
So in terms of your market share, obviously you've got a bustling market here in the state of Michigan. How far do you send Pioneer Sugar?
Great question. So we are not a national marketer. We are a regional marketer. So we'll go 5 or 6 states, Chicago to the west at the most, although we are now expanding into other areas with Pioneer Sugar in the Dakotas and Minnesota as well. But for the most part, the wheelhouse is Chicago to the west. It's obviously all of Michigan. Mm-hmm. It's Ohio, Indiana, western Pennsylvania. So we'll hit the Pittsburgh market, western New York, Rochester, and Buffalo. And now we're expanding further south into northern Kentucky and West Virginia.
What share of your business is for private consumption you know, available at Kroger, Meyer, places like that, and how much of it goes to commercial food processors and things like that, the big commercial bakeries, things like that.
So we actually, because of our big population area in those five states that I just mentioned, a big chunk of our sales go to the retail market, grocery market. 30% of our sales go to major national grocers in our region. And then 70% is what we earmark for our industrial customers and also our food service segment, which eventually goes to restaurants and institutional business.
Can you name some of those big industrial customers? I know they have sometimes have licensing and trademark things going, but
I don't think I'm breaching any confidentiality agreements. General Mills is a huge customer.
I've heard of them.
Jiffy Mix, Chelsea Milling, and here in Michigan, Dawn Foods down in Jackson, Danone for the yogurt business, Nestle. So we've got global multinational customers.
Do you have to specialize the product that you give them, or is it the same thing that the consumers are buying in the big red bag?
We do have a variety of products. So granulated sugar is the trademark, is the main product, but we also manufacture powdered sugars for baking applications and brown sugars as well.
From a competitive standpoint, I asked this of Dean as well. Obviously, we became and have become very concerned about foreign trade and fair trade. Does that affect your product, or you're regionally and you're domestically sold? Is that as big a thing, or do you find yourself locking horns with some multinationals that may not behave fairly?
We are very blessed in that, again, we have a lot of consumption and a lot of population in our backyard. So all of our sugar on average travels 275 miles, maybe 300 miles at most. It stays in the region. And there are others that need to come in and complement with their sugars as well to balance the market.
I know that the dentists and nutritionists are, you know, always telling us we've got to watch our sugar, but you do realize you're making the world a much, much better place, don't you?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, we always talk about making life sweeter. We do that literally and figuratively. You know, some of the towns where we operate, I mean, we are the largest employer in four different counties. You know, we pay $65 million in wages annually. That's on top of the money that goes back to our growers. So, yeah, I mean, this is it's a big business, but it's rooted in family business, and that's important. We cover all those bases.
Well, and we love the fact that Snidely Whiplash is not going to come in and try to lowball our farmers. I think that's the cool story, is the fact that this is a co-op and that everybody shares in the benefits. And everybody complain about the cost together at the same time, too, and commiserate about that. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Pedro Figueroa, Rob Clark from Michigan Sugar Company. Michigan, right there in the name. You know them better.